From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he concludes a message entitled Principles of Spiritual Warfare, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, record Joshua's visit from the captain of the Lord's hosts, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord himself came to Joshua to remind him that although physical activity would be necessary in the Lord's work, there must first be a meeting with the God of heaven and earth. Dr. Cairns listed the first principle as a recognition of the reality of the spiritual world. Then, in this spiritual battle, victory is assured because the Lord himself fights for his people. Next, the appearance of the captain of the Lord's hosts taught Joshua that communion with Christ must precede contending with the enemy. The fourth principle is the realization that in this spiritual warfare, the battle is the Lord's. Israel was about to encounter the greatest opposition they'd ever seen, but the Lord, who had promised them the victory, would fight for them. The fifth principle reminded us that in these spiritual battles, the Lord is the commander. In the service of God, full surrender and obedience to the divine commander is required. God's servants are to follow Christ alone and not men. Finally, we learn that the fear of God will destroy all fear of men. A clear sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's hosts, is the key to victory in our spiritual battles. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message in a few minutes. First, here is a devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our Lord Jesus is ever giving, and does not for a solitary instant withdraw his hand. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. He is a sun ever shining. He is manna always falling round the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from his smitten side. The rain of his grace is always dropping. The river of his bounty is ever flowing, and the wellspring of his love is constantly overflowing. As the king can never die, so his grace can never fail. Daily we pluck his fruit, and daily his branches bend down to our hand with a fresh store of mercy. There are 7 feast days in his weeks, and as many as are the days, so many are the banquets in his years. Who has ever returned from his door unblessed? Who has ever risen from his table unsatisfied? His mercies are new every morning and fresh every evening. Who can know the number of his benefits or recount the list of his bounties? Every sand which drops from the glass of time is but the tardy follower of a myriad of mercies. The wings of our hours are covered with the silver of his kindness and with the yellow gold of his affection. The river of time bears from the mountains of eternity the golden sands of his favor. The countless stars are but as the standard-bearers of a more innumerable host of blessings. Who can count the dust of the benefits which he bestows on Jacob, or tell the number of the fourth part of his mercies towards Israel? How shall my soul extol him who daily loadeth us with benefits and who crowneth us with loving kindness? Oh, that my praise could be as ceaseless as his bounty! O miserable tongue, how canst thou be silent? Wake up, I pray thee, lest I call thee no more my glory, but my shame. Awake, psaltery and harp! I myself will awake right early.
Yeah.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. The words of Amasai to David should be the cry of every believer to Christ. He said in 1 Chronicles 12:18, "Thine we are, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse." That's the prayer of every Christian to Christ. Thine we are, O Christ. We are on thy side. We are surrendered and obedient to thee. The cause of Christ urgently needs people like that. We tend to be like Peter. John 21, he said, "What will this man do?" Pointing to John. "What will he do?" It's very easy to be like that. "Lord, what about him? What about him? Or what about her? What will they do?" The Lord Jesus very politely told him, "That's not your business, Peter. That's my business. Your business is, follow thou me." John 21, verse 22. Oh, that we would take that as God's word to us today. Follow thou me. And whether that man does great work or poor work, whether that other man goes on with God or betrays Christ, whether he's active or inactive, whether you have company in serving the Lord or whether you have no company in serving the Lord, the call of Christ to you and me is, follow thou me. Full surrender, full obedience. That will lead us to the final thing we must recognize. If we seek obediently and in surrender to serve the Lord, we have to deal with something that trips up the strongest of men, and that is the fear of man. And Joshua learned, and we must recognize, that the fear of God destroys all fear of man. Look at verse 15. "The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." That loosing the shoe from off the foot is symbolic of reverence, of awe, and of fear. This, and what happened with Moses, for instance, at the burning bush, this is the basis and background for the practice that you still have in Eastern countries to this day, going into their places of worship. If you go to visit a mosque in Jerusalem, for instance, you have to take your shoes off. Of course, if you live in Canada and you go into anybody's house, you have to take your shoes off too. I always refuse to do that, not because my socks are not presentable, but I'm not comfortable out of shoes unless I'm in bed, and so I always refuse to do it. But actually the reason is I'm afraid it's tied into idolatry. So all you Canadians now, you've got to learn this. But this is where it originated. In the mosques, take the shoe off. Why? Because they say they're entering into the presence of Allah. They're going into the presence of God. And there should be reverence. There should be fear. There ought to be too. Temptation to digress is much too strong for me, so I'm going to give this as a little side swipe. When I have been in Jerusalem, I have found it a shocking thing to see Christians being turned away from mosques by heathens because they were too immodestly dressed to be allowed to enter a heathen shrine. I have seen Christians going in the way they would go into a Christian church, and the heathens turned them away. Some actually would have various big scarves to tie around their waist and things to put over their shoulders and all this to make them look decent to go into a heathen shrine. Isn't that a tragedy? Surely tragic. Why do they do that? Because they say we ought to fear God. And that much they have got right. That much they have got right. We ought to fear God. It ought to be apparent by the way we look, by the way we dress, by the way we walk, by the way we talk, by what we do, by what we don't do. Yes, it ought to be apparent. The fear of God. Joshua saw the Lord and he got such a fear of him, such a reverence of him, that never again did he fear man. He stood in such awe of God that the men of Jericho could never cause him to fear. Time forbids me to follow that through the scriptures, but I tell you this, that that is the vision that breeds fearless servants. You know, you hear an awful lot of nonsense talked about brave men, whether in the physical realm or the spiritual realm. I have talked to men who have gone to war. My own father fought through the First World War in the trench warfare in the Western Front. And he said, I was a fool. He carried to his death a wound of horrifying proportions. The shell that shattered his arm killed the young man standing in the trench beside him. He said, when we were told to go over the top, he said, when you were going forward, the Germans were shooting to kill you. If you turned back, your own officers shot to kill you. He said, I never once thought I could die that day. He was on sea of just about 20 years old. He said, I never once thought I could die that day. That's not bravery, that's just plain stupidity. That's just plain stupidity. And he said that. I remember hearing one of the most decorated soldiers of the Second World War. When an interviewer asked him, were you not afraid? He said, certainly I was afraid. You can't be courageous unless you know what it is to fear. Courage is overcoming fear. It's true spiritually. The strongest of men can be cowed by the fear of man. Peter, who in the Garden of Gethsemane could stand before a veritable army. There were only two swords among all the disciples. Peter had one of them. He was willing to fight to the death. Oh, he had courage, all right. Peter was a man's man. There's nothing effeminate or weak about him. But yet, when a little maid challenged him and said, I think you're a follower of Christ, the fear of man gripped his heart and he denied Christ. The fear of man is very real. The fear of man is most depressing. Perhaps the most common forms of it are keeping us quiet when we know the prompting of the Lord to witness and we don't witness because we're afraid. Well, maybe don't have the answer, or maybe we'll be mocked or laughed at or whatever. That's the fear of man. Perhaps an even more common form of the fear of man is that we look out at the world, we look out at the results of efforts that have been made to win the world for Christ and this district for Christ, and we just give up hope and say, well, they're too bad, or they won't listen, or this or that, or this is an excuse for doing nothing more. We just give up, do nothing. It's the fear of man. How do you overcome it? I want to tell you how you don't overcome it. You don't overcome it by raising your hand in the meeting, walking the aisle and saying, I'm not going to fear man anymore, because you'll fear him as much tomorrow morning as you did yesterday morning. You do not overcome the fear of man by having just a merely supercharged emotional experience in church. That's not how you overcome the fear of man. Because that emotion's all going to drain away and you're going to be out there in the lonely place and you're going to have to stand alone. How do you overcome the fear of man? you get such a sight of Christ that the fear of God fills your heart and you see man as God sees him. That's how you overcome the fear of man. In God have I put my trust, the psalmist said. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. And again, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord said to Isaiah, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And Jeremiah said, the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Terrible one. One who causes fear. When you see that, you'll know the words of 1 John 4:4. You are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Here then are the principles of spiritual warfare. Joshua learned them as he communed with the captain of the Lord's host at Gilgal. Listen, you and I can learn them as we get alone with Christ. These are the things we need to realize. Can I appeal to you that the battle sorely needs to be fought? Listen, we need every Christian on the battle line. We need every Christian fully committed to the work. We need every Christian praying, giving, witnessing, inviting, reaching out, showing warmth of heart, the love of Christ, the kindness of the gospel and of God's grace. We need God's people to be totally and absolutely committed to the Lord, and therefore to each other as they are committed to the Lord. We need every Christian to be involved in storming Jericho. But first, we need every Christian to get to Gilgal, learn personal godliness, learn what it is to feast on Christ, and see the captain of the Lord's host recognize what we need to know if we are ever to say, like Paul at the end of the journey, I have fought a good fight.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.